Hey, what up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Christian, here. Monday morning after the Warriors' most surprising, biggest upset victory of the year, beating the Denver Nuggets. Pretty much Nuggets at full strength minus Aaron Gordon. Warriors far from full strength. Only 9 active players after late scratches from Draymond Green about 20 minutes before tip. We'll talk about that. Porzingis, the morning of, feeling ill. Unexpected that day, but not unexpected on the whole. We are going to talk about that a little bit more detail, kind of higher level. And the Warriors come in with 9 active players. You can call 3 or 4 of them as, you know, either spent previous time in the G League, two-way contracts, second-round picks, guys that might not even see playing time on some other teams, a 39-year-old who had a great game, and just a mixed group of players that when you see their roster from the outside looking in and you're not a Warriors fan and you're just seeing who are these guys in this lineup, you might find it hard to believe that this team could even put together enough points to stay in this game, let alone win it. And that's exactly what happened. No Steph, no Jimmy, no Porzingis, no Dre. No problem. Go in and, you know, for the most part, we're in control of this game. They were the better team for the better part of this game. I mean, obviously the shooting from three, I think they made about 21 threes, and you know, 3-point shooting in the NBA these days really truly does dictate how it's going regardless of the rest of the game. If you're hot from three, you're going to be in the game and probably winning, and that was the case for the first 2 quarters. Went cold in the third, and that's when the Nuggets ended up going up by like 8 points at one point. And then the Warriors, behind Brandon Pajemski and others, get hot in the fourth quarter and end up, yeah, we'll call it steamrolling the Nuggets through that fourth quarter. They won that fourth quarter 33-16. I mean, 16 points, good defense. That I think if there's anything you can look to that this second unit, or even called a third unit of role players, is that they're going to compete, and they're going to compete on defense, and they've been disruptive. And I mean, against the best offense in the league and against, you know, the best player in the league and Nikola Jokic, who had a great game, found a way to hold them to 16 points in that fourth in a close game, held them down the stretch, and just did a good job of, you know, staying in front, not getting broken down. I think you see that the teams that the Warriors have had the most trouble with, even when they were at full strength, is teams with really athletic guards and wings that are breaking us down off the dribble, and then we're forced to be in recovery mode. Nuggets aren't that type of team. Jamal Murray is a great, you know, creator, and he kind of gets more into his own jump shot than anything else. He's not really a drive and kick guard quite as much. And obviously Jokic plays his own style, but again, he's not beating a guy off the dribble, where again, the Warriors have their most trouble. And for the most part, the Warriors have played the Nuggets really well this year. You remember opening night, they beat them. And these are the types of teams that when our defense can get set, be calculated when you're trapping versus letting him play one-on-one and you're staying home off shooters. Those are the types of teams that the Warriors have had good success on defense against. It's when they're just out-quicked, out-athleticized, out-sized that they just can't do much on defense. And that was not the case last night. So kudos to this unit on the defensive side of the ball. On the offense, obviously shot the heck out of the ball. But really, they were led in that fourth quarter by none other than Brandon Pajemski, who at one point in the game had 9 straight misses, I think maybe to start the game, ends up finishing with a near triple-double. I think the final line was like 18, 16 rebounds, 9 assists. It's like a plus 19 on the game. Most of that damage was done in the fourth quarter. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 of 6 from the field, 2 threes, and a plus 17 all in the fourth quarter. And just alone might have vaulted him into the clutch player of the year conversation. I'm joking, but that is one of the better fourth quarters that we've seen across the league. And yeah, I gotta say that is the Brandon Pajemski experience. Very streaky, oftentimes can shoot you out of a game and just go 2 for 13 or miss 9 straight shots. And he's a head case and he's complaining every time and he's doing all these things that drive you crazy to watch. But then you realize, hey, this guy has 7 rebounds and 5 assists. And all of a sudden, then he makes a couple shots and he's feeling confident and everything's falling, including one-footed floaters that almost hit the ceiling. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's up to 18 points and has a triple double. So the verdict's still out on Pajemski. He shows glimpses. It's very inconsistent, but he does a lot of little things well. And if he could just get that scoring a little more consistent, just find ways to get easier buckets and take higher quality shots and, just kind of play a little quicker, you could see where he can play himself into that next contract. As it stands, still not sure exactly what his future holds for him. I'm guessing that the Warriors pick up that option for next year and don't extend him yet. They're going to want to see what they have. But maybe at a fair extension, they do that. So that's all I'll say about Pajemski. Great game, willed us to the win on this one. And we needed every bit of ball handling that we could get because outside of him and Melton, I honestly thought that the Warriors might not score in this game. Once I saw the lineup, I was like, man, where are they going to get points from? Where are they going to create advantages from? Somehow they got it done. But it was a team effort. Like I said, 9 players on the active roster, two of them, Quentin Post, Pat Spencer, pretty much zero impact. And you're really just looking across the board at the other 7 players who all played kind of between 20 and 30 minutes apiece. Gui Santos, another really strong game, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. You're going to see a common trend. I'm going to go through kind of all the players and a lot of assists to be passed around from players that don't otherwise typically get them. And that's what this offense without Draymond Green becomes. It's the ball is popping, everyone's touching it, and you're going to start racking up just a lot of assists and fine shooters. And that's what happened last night. Gui Santos, going to be a restricted free agent after this year, which is good that the Warriors can re-sign him. I'm curious what the rest of the NBA's valuation of Gui Santos is now that he's starting to string. With Scott, it's been like what, a half dozen, 7, 8 games now where he's scoring kind of mid-teens. Looks great spacing the floor. You notice his energy just and effort just jumps out on paper. He just has several huge hustle plays every game. Good back cutting. Now he's playmaking. He's good off the dribble, good positional size. A lot to like about Gui Santos. And my fear is that another team is just going to offer him a mid-level or more in that next contract. And Warriors may not be able to match that. But for the time being, Gui Santos, quite honestly, might be, consistently our top two, maybe our best player over the course of February. So great job, Gui Santos. Went, what was he, like 6 of 7 from the field as well. So high efficiency. Moses Moody, 23 points, played well, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a very high number for Moses. Great game for Moody. Al Horford, star of the show, two-way Al Horford, 22 points, 7 assists, 6 of 7 on threes, 5 stocks, 3 steals, 2 blocks, played excellent defense against Nikola Jokic. I mean, when you heard that Porzingis was out and then all of a sudden Draymond's out, it's like, dude, who's gonna even you're playing Jokic? Like, this guy's gonna go crazy. And he did, but not enough to win because Al Horford made it tough on him, giving up a decent amount of size, but worked, was smart, cut off angles, boxed out, was able to play, one-on-one against Jokic for the most part and not let Jokic just destroy you by having to collapse a double team around him. Horford player of the game, just absolutely stud performance. And what we're seeing out of him is what you had hoped to get, and he's really hitting his stride. And most importantly, he's on a 2-year contract with an option next year, but gives you hope that he still has enough juice in the legs for when you are going for it next year, that he will still be an impact player. And he's logging, 28 minutes. He's kind of pushing close to full minutes again. So always been a very durable player. I think the Warriors' plan to kind of ease him into the season has really paid dividends because you're seeing it now and how impactful he's being in full-time minutes. And particularly the minutes he's been playing with De'Anthony Melton have been phenomenal. Oh, the entire season, anytime they've been together, it's been a very successful lineup, especially with the Jimmy Butler lineups. And, that second unit, again, when they're both playing, has just been so good. Just great compliments and great, just very intelligent players and very good defensively working together. Melton had 20 points per use, four steals. Great game by Melton as well. And then I got to shout out Gary Payton the second, 15 points and just another impact game. And yeah, he also has been playing, maybe his best basketball since coming off our championship run. Peyton's been staying healthy, knock on wood, but the effort and just kind of the fit with this lineup, I just gotta love the Horford, Melton, GP2, and then you can attach, either Pods, Moody, Will Richard, who played 30 minutes last night. Not super impactful, but hey, he played the second most minutes on the team and was, doing what he needs to do on that wing to get you a win. Enough about the game. Let's just kind of focus bigger picture. Let's zoom out a little bit. So, great win. The negatives and I guess almost the positives to take away. Let's talk about Draymond Green first and foremost. We know that Draymond's going through a new role change and it's a transition for him. And we'll see what that looks like once Steph is back, because I'm sure Draymond's minutes will kind of start going back up when Steph's here. Right now, Draymond, you would have thought that this would be a game for him to shine against Jokic defensively. And, for everything that he has been doing on defense, the offense has just been killing you enough where he might not have even played that much last night because the offense has, been terrible and it's been hurting the ball movement. And like we talked about, when the ball's popping with these other guys and everyone's racking up five, six, seven assists, makes you wonder if that is in large part because Draymond wasn't there tonight, wasn't taking seven three-pointers, wasn't stopping the flow of the offense, wasn't turning the ball over. I love Draymond Green and everything he's done, but recently the offense has just been a huge negative impact. And it's been very clear that when he's not been on the court, the offense has been better. And the defense is great, but it's not enough to offset how poor the offense has been. And you saw it last night that Warriors were able to still get it done defensively. So Dre, I mean, I still love you, and you're still very valuable. And in a playoff setting, we will need you. But for $28 million, I said this last episode, but for $28 million next year, there are going to be some decisions that you need to make. If you're going to opt into that player option, there's a good chance that you are the trade piece that the Warriors can put together if a potential star becomes available. They don't have any other contracts to trade other than Jimmy Butler's. That's going to get you there. So if you opt in, there's a good chance that at some point your name is going to come up in trade discussions a whole lot. Or you opt out, sign a much discounted deal, allow us to re-sign you, and then potentially Melton and Gi Santos and Horford. Or sorry, and why am I tripping here? Porzingis, excuse me, and get them all back if you sign a team-friendly enough deal. Speaking about Porzingis, the illness. We all knew it was going to come at some point. We didn't expect it to come this soon after looking, healthy and talking about how he's feeling great and wants to up his minutes as of 3 days ago. And then all of a sudden, Steve Kerr gets a text message and Porzingis is just very sick and can't even make it out of the hotel room. And now we know how it feels. It doesn't feel good, I'll tell you that. And the hardest part about his illnesses is clearly it throws you into a spiral with who knows how much time until a game that you just don't have him. And you're going to have to prepare every game with a contingency plan that he might just wake up that morning and not be ready to go. And you could be playing against Nikola Jokic that night. You could be playing for your playoff life. You could be in the NBA finals. And you just don't know if an illness like this is going to creep up. We thought it might be getting a little bit better, but clearly it's still going to be an issue going forward. So now we know how it feels. And fortunately, the Warriors were able to eke out a win. And fortunately, this game doesn't really matter too much as far as the bigger season is concerned. But again, it can, and unfortunately, it will happen at big moments. And the Warriors are going to need huge performances out of Horford and Draymond and Quinton Post if you're going to live that life. On the flip side, the silver lining is that if you're hoping to re-sign, Kristaps Porzingis gives you a lot more leverage, and that you could re-sign him for a team-friendly deal. Clearly, if he had been, played every game the rest of this year or 90% of the games and played well, now he's going to be looking for something in that $15, $20 million range where he's lived his whole career. But if you have little random illnesses and games missed like this, now you could potentially say, hey, man, like, I don't think many teams are going to be willing to take a swing on you, and you might get them back for under $10 million, maybe at that mid-level exception at about like 7 or 8 for the taxpayer mid-level exception, maybe even less if he really wants to be here and you need it to make it work. So if you can keep winning with him or without him, great. But I do want to see how he fits, particularly when Steph Curry, who, as we've learned, may be an anti-shoe contract guy. Soon, Curry brand maybe going to Anta, one of three finalists for Curry. I'd assume Nike's one of them, and I don't even know who the third one would be. I did guess Adidas, but maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, maybe Steph and the Splash Bros with Klay will be the new Anta reps. All right, back to back coming up starting tomorrow. I think what is it? It's Grizzlies and or Pelicans and then Grizzlies. So I would like to win both, but you're not going to have Horford in one and you're not going to have Melton in the other because they're not playing back to back. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully you can get somebody back healthy. Good chance Porzingis might still be sick. So we'll see. But both those teams sort of tanking. So see if you can get a couple of those. Important to hold on to that 7-8 spot in the play-in, just so you have some sort of advantage and you're not dead going into the playoffs. All right, you guys, I will talk to you later this week. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.